This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
We have a famous artist with us today, D.A. Dunford, and we're taping this program remotely in Muskoka, Ontario. To tell you a little bit about D.A. Dunford, he's had a self-guided tour in his gallery just outside of Bracebridge. Doug Dunford is a realism artist, and you walk into his gallery, you get blown away how real the scenes are with his art. He has been painting for over 50 years, specializing in realism. He also dabbles in impressionism and abstract, comparing the crossover to multiple languages. Our guest today, backed by popular demand, D.A. Dunford. Let's first talk about your gallery. I'm here in Bracebridge, Ontario, at your gallery. What is your gallery all about?
Well, it's very private in a lot of ways. I don't advertise. I do have a website, but I've been here painting full-time since 1981 in Muskoka. So over the years, I've met a lot of people. It's not like a downtown gallery where it's got constant people going in and out. It's I might get five or six people a week that will drop in, but it's out in the country. It's only a 5-minute drive from Bracebridge, and it's 10 acres of a beautiful property here. Lots of wildlife that comes right up beside my studio, deer, all kinds of different bird species. It's like living in a nature sanctuary.
Yeah, it's very beautiful, very beautiful. Let's talk about realism art. Now, your realism art really looks like a photograph. I mean, you really have a vivid eye for what is actually seeing, and then you reproduce it, and it's really exquisite how realistic it is. Let's talk about realism art, what it's all about, how did you learn this, how did you market this? Let's talk about that. D.A. Dunford.
Well, from the very beginning, many years ago, I was only maybe 6-7 years old, an uncle of mine was taking an art course to teach art. And he was drawing circles, squares, triangles. But what fascinated me is with doing shadowing and so forth, he made the circle look like a round ball, three-dimensional. And that was really the very beginning that it shocked me. I was shocked somebody could make something look so real-looking. And then my second time of really being influenced by art was the Canadian wildlife artist Robert Bateman, who I met when I was in grade 2. He saw some drawings that I was doing, and I would he would come to our school, the public school at the time, once a month to give an afternoon art class. And he was a realist painter, of course, so that was another big influence. And then in high school, I met an art teacher that was a realist painter doing watercolors of farm scenes, and that was a huge influence at the time. So that was really the beginning. I dabbled with abstract art and impressionism art and so forth, but realism to me was always a real challenge. Realism is an external way of looking at art. You'll work from the live scene, from photographs. The whole concept is to make it look not like a photograph necessarily, but how the human eye would see something. For instance, with the photograph, as everything goes back in the distance, the photograph will blur, it'll go out of focus, where there is one form of realism called photorealism, where the artist will make it look like a photograph. But straightforward realism is when you make the painting look like the human eye would see it, real looking, and so forth. So it was always a huge influence to me, and a challenge. So realism to me is external, where impressionism art and abstract art is more of an internal art, where it's more from your inside imagination. Sometimes, especially with abstract art, a lot of times the artist may have no concept about what's going to be the finished product. It's all an internal thing where the artist's feelings come out and expresses their feelings with color and form.
If you're listening in Muskoka, Buffalo, New York, or Washington, D.C., we're speaking with D.A. Dunford, a famous artist. He does realistic art. He has a beautiful gallery just outside of Bracebridge, Ontario. So if you have any questions or comments, please write to Brian Rusk. And that would be at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We have received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand at this station. We'd like to hear from you, as we have 50,000 watts of clear channel power. More information about D.A. Dunford. He pulls his inspiration from Muskoka's natural beauty. He maintains that experiencing Muskoka and seeing it through his own eyes is what truly inspires his art. His favorite place is usually the one he is working on. One of his last pieces was a painting of Seven Sister Islands on Lake Muskoka. Tell me, how did that painting go, and what did you do with that painting?
Well, it was put into a show and sold. It's actually a very well-known landmark on Lake Muskoka.
So where is the painting now?
It actually went to a couple down in Los Angeles, United States.
So it's 4,000 miles away right now?
Yes.
So is it in their home?
Yes. A lot of times, sometimes it might sound kind of corny, but my paintings are like my children. Some paintings I can put up to $500 of work into them. And, you know, when somebody buys it and it's off my wall, I can't see it anymore, it's gone. But if I was a very wealthy artist, I probably wouldn't even sell my paintings. I would keep them all, hoard them for myself. But, you know, it's a part of, I'm a professional at what I do, and I make a living at it, and the bills have to be paid, so, yeah.
Okay, if somebody is interested in looking at your art, where can they see it, on what website? How can they purchase one of your realistic art paintings?
Yes. Well, it's Douglas or Doug Dunford artist.com is my website. There's roughly 95 paintings on the website. Probably 3/4 of them are sold, but it gives people an idea of the kind of work that I do.
Very good. And what approximately do they go for, one of your paintings?
My paintings, the realism can go anywhere from $400 up to $35,000. I've done work for galleries, one in Toronto, the Odon Wagner Gallery, which is a very well-known Canadian gallery, and I've done some commission work for them. One was for a chap in Bahamas. And that particular painting was 3 feet by 4 feet, very detailed, a lot of things happening in the painting. The gallery sold it for $34,000.
Very good. Again, the website or phone number or email address so people can contact Yes. You.
I did make one mistake. It's dadunfordartist.com. And I'm located at 1151 Partridge Lane in Bracebridge, Ontario.
Very good. I am here in the studio. It's really magnificent. If you turn around, you have antique ships, boats, dogs. He's very famous for his chairs on the docks. And he seems to like dogs quite a bit, too. So let's talk. We're talking about over 50 years. How does your work compare or differ from 50 years ago to today, Doug Dunford?
Well, yeah, I like any kind of trade. If you work at it hard enough and long enough, yes, things have changed over 50 years. I would say my paintings are more detailed now, but at the beginning of things, you know, trying to make a living as an artist, you start, you know, thinking, well, what does the public like? But as you get older, as you develop your skills, I've always felt it's better to be a leader rather than a follower.
Right.
There's a lot of trends, especially in Muskoka right now. A lot of the galleries are selling paintings that are basically imitation group of seven paintings, bright colors, very abstract looking, and I don't really like trends. I always try to come up, invent my own ideas and my own approach on painting them versus following other artists, what the trend is. At the beginning, you follow the trends, but then you learn to be your own person, your own artist.
Now, you paint the natural beauty of Muskoka. I'm looking here at a painting you're doing now with two beautiful dogs and flowers and so forth. What intrigues you, what excites you of the natural beauty of Muskoka, where many of your paintings are depicting?
Well, like I say, the one that you just mentioned is a commission piece I'm doing. Sometimes I do commissions that I don't really want to do, or I'm not totally inspired to do them, but it pays the bills. You know, it's a full-time job for me. But at the same time, I try to put a bit of life into something that some people would say is a bit boring, but just by using colors and forms, you can bring any image to life.
Now, I'm looking at this commission painting you're doing now with two little dogs on a dock with flowers. What is the difference between what you are painting and a photograph? What is the difference?
Well, as you can see, the photograph I'm working from is sitting beside it. And it was, the people gave me a really bad photograph, but it's just, like I say, it's trying to bring the image to life.
Now, why did you choose to do realistic art instead of what you did with impressionistic art, D.A. Dunford?
Well, with the impressionism art, has always been a total experiment for me. It's after spending many hours working on realism painting, it's nice to pick up a brush and not to really have to think too much to try to figure out, you know, the animation of something to get it right, the detail of something. Where impressionism, of course, is a lot looser. It's more about the movement of the painting and so forth. One of my favorite artists in impressionism was the late Tom Thompson, and where a lot of my impressionism paintings I paint in real life. I don't do them in my studio. I go out with a canvas and, you know. And at the same time, I'm trying to capture the real essence of nature. And you can only imitate nature. Nature is the real artist. But as close as one can imitate what nature is, the closer you get to doing a good painting.
Now, your work with realistic art is almost the opposite of abstract art, but you've done abstract art also. Tell us the difference to you.
What, with abstract art?
Yes.
And impressionism?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, impressionism, it's an inner art, but it's also usually in real life. You're imitating something in real life, but it's not necessarily detail, where abstract art is totally inner. Like, you have to still follow basic concepts of perspective, or getting a good composition with different colors and forms. So yeah, with abstract art, it's totally inward. And I've tried to experiment with all kinds of art, everything from sculpture to pottery to whatever. I think an artist should always be experimenting with different things. With my abstract art, I did about 100 paintings through one winter, and I gave every one of them away. And the same with my impressionism paintings. Most of them, I just give them away to friends. Where with my realism, that's how I make my living. To do impressionism paintings and abstract paintings is just basically fun to do. It's just, you know, it's still a challenge and all that. But then again, I'd have to say a gallery in Huntsville, Ontario,
and right.
They also have a gallery in Algonquin Park, took some of my impressionism paintings, and they actually sold a few of them, which I was kind of shocked. And I think one painting sold for $1,200. And then a gallery in Bracebridge put on a show of my impressionism paintings, and they also sold a couple of them. So it's the first time I've ever actually sold any of my my impressionism paintings.
We have just a few minutes left on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Again, where can someone find your artwork if they want to see it, if they want to buy it? Tell our listeners how.
Just go to dadunfordartist.com and you'll be able to connect with me. You can email me. I've shipped paintings out all over the world through my lifetime of being an artist. Actually, the last two paintings I did were shipped down to Texas, a commission from somebody there.
Very good. We're coming to a close. I'd like to thank Kevin Carr, Director of Production, and we're going to now end this program with an interview with Murray Walker, owner of the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame, so we get another perspective from the Muskoka area. Again, why your fascination with the nature, the boats, the lifestyle of Muskoka, Ontario?
Well, with the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame, at the beginning of summer, I had a one-man show there. Over 300 people came to the opening. There's actually a lot of people from New York and as far as Texas, South Carolina, and it was my publisher that allowed me to have a show at this place. That's a connection.
Very good. We've been learning a great deal from world famous artist D.A. Dunford of Bracebridge, Ontario, and now we're going to shift to Murray Walker for the end of the program. We have now an extension of the program with famous artist of the Muskoka region, D.A. Dunford, and I am with R. Murray Walker, who has the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame in Bracebridge, Ontario. And we've done many programs on the Pierce Arrow Auto Museum in Buffalo, New York, which is one of the largest auto museums in the world. And it's a fascinating location in Bracebridge with tremendous boats that have won international competition. Murray, what's this all about, your Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame?
The Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame has been produced and developed to celebrate Canadian achievements in racing. It doesn't necessarily have to be international racing, although it is in many cases here, but there are many people that have achieved great world recognition in racing, but over the years we tend to think that they've been forgotten. And so the Raceboat Hall of Fame is an attempt to bring alive again the tremendous achievements that Canadians have made in motorboat racing. We're also concerned and interested in the kind of changes that are taking place in the future. It's currently estimated that up to 40% of the young Seafleet racers are girls. And so we have a lot of active racing in Canada and internationally, of course, for Canadian racers that are of a young age, teenagers and less. So we're trying to cater and celebrate Canadian achievements at all levels.
This reminds me with the Pierce Arrow Auto Museum in Buffalo. I told you that James Sandoro has exhibits highlighting women in auto racing, and you are highlighting women in boat racing. Now, you have a boat here that probably went 200 miles an hour and won international competition with a 2,900 horsepower Rolls-Royce engine. Tell us about that, Murray Walker.
The boat that you're speaking of is known as Miss Super Test 3, and it has the distinction of being the only boat in the world that has ever won the world championship three times, that being the Harmsworth Trophy race, which was contested in Canada and the United States in 1959, 60, and 61. It's a race that was held by the Americans for over 38 years, and so it was quite a change to have this Canadian boat come along with the 2,900 horsepower and be designed and powered in Canada. That achievement, I think, has led that boat to become extremely famous, and it really has become the cornerstone of the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame, and I think is partially the reason why we started this. We said Super Test is just so important. Canadians, and in fact people all over the world, should not be allowed to forget such an incredible achievement that happened back then.
Now, we have a few minutes left on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. If anyone has any thoughts or comments, please write to Brian Rusk, Bet AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226, as we have received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. Another fascinating boat here at the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame in Bracebridge, Ontario, is a boat owned and competed with world-famous orchestra leader Guy Lombardo. Tell us about that boat.
Yeah. Guy Lombardo, in addition to being a world-famous musician and band leader, was also a world champion boat racer, and in fact he, as a driver and an owner, won the Gold Cup in the 1950s. This boat is known as, that we have on display, as Guy's last boat, known as Tempo 7. It seems natural that a band leader would have boats named Tempo. A few people have also forgotten that Guy Lombardo, who was born in London, Ontario, so we're quite pleased to have that particular boat on display because of its achievements, having won itself the Gold Cup, but also because it was a boat that competed actively against Miss Supertest, so it does tie the whole story together.
Very good. Now, if somebody would like to come up here and view the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame in Bracebridge, Ontario, what website or email or phone number should they communicate in order to come up and tour this magnificent facility?
The facility is open from 7 days a week, from the middle of May until the end of October, other times after that by appointment only. And the best way to find out the directions here, and of course the phone numbers and directions, would be to look on our website, Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame.
And why, Murray Walker, do you have such a fascination with these antique raceboats? What is it that motivates you with this?
My motivation for this really began as a child when I was introduced to a raceboat that my father had known when he was a kid, a 1920 racer. And that sparked my interest, and over time I've been amazed at the different types of hulls that would achieve greater and greater speed, which was always the objective in the last century and still is today. The people I've met, I think, have helped my interest in racing, but it's the innovations in race that have led to so many real-life production examples in runabouts that people have at their summer cottage, very much like automobiles. The automobiles that were racing were the forefront and the innovation that came to be in production cars. So there's a tremendous allegiance there for me with the people I've met and learning more and more about the racing achievements of Canadians.
We've had an exciting radio program today on the Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520 with world famous realism artist D.A. Dunford. And now we're learning about the Canadian Raceboat Hall of Fame in Bracebridge, Ontario, with the owner of this facility, R. Murray Walker. Thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, and we wish all our listeners a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.